Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Good Times. I'm your host, Damon Epps. What if your office was also the beginning and end of your daily bike ride? Today, I'd like to introduce Josh Kiles, the developer and mastermind behind the first bikeable building, and learn how he connected some of the most creative people to design and build The Ledger, a first-of-its-kind workspace. First off, Josh, thanks for coming. Yeah. You are the first guest, so we're going to knock off all the rust with you. Perfect. And it's good because you're not only a really talented dude, you're also pretty awesome and pretty
Thank
cool
you.
So far.
Either one of them.
So far,
I showed up.
Yeah, you showed up. That's all that really matters. That's 100% what I needed today. So, first off, the reason why I am even doing this and why I'm here, obviously I came here. I'm a reality TV producer in LA. Met someone. I came to this town based on the information that she gave me. She was like, oh, Stuart and Thomas are going to try to create Austin, Texas, along with the other Waltons, and everybody's building some cool stuff. From that moment, I came, I visited, and I was like, wow, this is the most incredible place I've ever seen. And or not the most incredible place I've ever seen, but you saw what this place is going to be. I immediately rented an apartment, and now I'm living downtown. And when I first got here, they were like, oh, look at all this really cool stuff. One of them happened to be, they were like, oh, that building right there is going to be the first bikeable building in the world. Am I crazy?
We can't find another one yet, but yeah.
Okay.
We have to be cautious how we say that, but we have not found another one.
Well, you know what? I like that Bentonville goes for it. You guys just claim a lot of stuff really quick and just like, why might as well set into it. But since you guys may have barely broke ground when I first, was a year ago? I don't know what it looked like a year
ago. We broke ground, it would have been about 2.5 years ago.
2.5 years ago. Yeah. Well, it still was not a big mountain a year ago.
No.
It was still in the making for sure. And I've been driving past it every day. And I have a lot of questions for you, obviously. But the most important one, I think, was when someone told me, oh, we're building the first bikeable building. And I was like, oh, that's really cool. But what does that even mean? So I'm glad you're on the show. So let's just dive into what The Ledger is all about.
The Ledger, it's funny because it is the first bikeable building. That's what it gets labeled a lot. But it actually was, I've been developing here in Bentonville for over 20 years. My senior year at the U of A, I started putting the roads in at Rainbow Curve. And for years we did traditional real estate where it was garden style, single tenant.
Hello. Come on in.
Are you guys recording?
Yeah, recording, but go on in.
No,
it's okay. Well, he just kind of came in, started talking. I was like, well, we got to start. We got to just start.
Did I just ruin this?
No.
The whole thing.
You ruined the whole thing.
I get to go home.
I just want you to know the GM just walked in and he's ruined the whole thing, guys. No, I'm just kidding. No, not at all.
You should be interviewing Juan.
Eventually we are going
to. You talk about somebody bringing something to Bentonville. That's, you know, hospitality that they bring from different places. You were talking about what's different in Bentonville earlier. I don't know if we were recording yet or not.
Yeah, we are.
But all these people that bring what they've brought from other places, that's what's making Bentonville different. Is what have I learned and what have I seen done right? It's going back to the buildings. We saw these buildings were being built and the tenants were changing so much, and then they would have this 20,000 square foot building and need 10. And it was a running joke for years that we should own the dumpster company because we were renovating and tearing up stuff all the time. And we were like, okay, there's got to be a better way. So I sold all of it, said, I'm going to start over and I'm going to do it at a larger scale. And I want to do it where I don't have to lose my tenants, where they can stay with me, whether their business gets bigger or smaller, because a lot of the people in this community do business with one client, and it's usually their biggest client in the country.
Right.
But sometimes their business grows or they have acquisitions, and sometimes they sell off companies. So at no fault of their own, they would have to look at other buildings because I wouldn't have space. So I was like, there's got to be a way that we can keep them because they're good people. They're good tenants. And that way they can still stay with us but not have to move. That's where the initial start was. And I got told to go, and a friend of mine who believes in Bentonville heavily said, hey, why don't you go up to New York and meet Adam Newman, who has a company called WeWork. So I went up and started talking to him, and we realized that they were on to something. There was a lot of smart people at WeWork. They were terrible at accounting, but they were very, very innovative and smart and had a lot of young talent. And they had figured out a utilization of space and how people didn't need to sit at their desk all day long from 9 to 5 because it actually made them tired.
Right.
And they said, hey, what if somebody works in five different spaces in the day? And they realized that people left energetic with more energy than they came with just by changing light, sound, all the different stimuli that you have or your senses. So that's what part of their workplace was. And you see all the stuff on the news and the documentaries, and a lot of that gets lost. But what they started to do is you could take a company and you could shrink them by 40, 50% of their footprint, which is a huge capital expenditure for these companies.
Yeah, for sure.
And have better space that the people enjoyed going to. So when we started the building, we figured it was going to take us 10 years to teach everybody this. And then probably 6 months after construction started.
And you mean teach people, teach companies, in the business. And
teach companies to say, hey, we don't, you know, Juan doesn't need his seat every day at that desk. There could be desks here.
You hear that, Juan? We don't need your seat.
But you don't have to be at that seat. You know, you're going to have to learn not to have, you can't have your picture there. But what if they shared it? Because, you know, at the time there was companies flirting with 3-day work weeks, and there was countries, you know, there's other countries now that are looking at shorter work weeks. And then probably 6-8 months into, we went through the WeWork stuff, and WeWork, we ended up parting ways with them because they were on a different path as a whole. But we learned a lot from it. And actually, when they ended up dispersing a lot of their people, we went and talked to a lot of the talent we saw from their company. Our architects are from WeWork. This was going to be the first ground-up WeWork in the world.
So, oh, really?
Yeah.
I was wondering about that, because WeWork, one of those strange things I always thought about WeWork, knowing they're like they never owned their buildings. They rented buildings, and then they—
And it was space in a building.
Yep.
It wasn't even the whole building most of the time.
Yeah.
And so the architects, these people that had true beliefs in like changing workspace, some of them were ours. So Michelle Roachkin, he was the main CEO. And then under him was Christian Callahan and Haruka Hariuchi. And they believed that this could be done. But one of their big complaints was also that all their beautiful things they were doing, they had 75 million square feet, but nobody ever could see it unless they were members. So it would be 40 floors up. And nobody would ever know what was going on. So if you see the building now, that got translated a lot into, let's open the building up. Let's turn it inside out, where the activity is on the outside and the inside, and where the community can feel what we're doing. So if we could create this hub where Fortune 5 companies could be next to somebody who can afford one seat, and they may sit and have a cup of coffee together at the common space and talk about something, and it could help both of them. It may help the person that's in this part of their life or this part. And what if we created that hub for people to come and collaborate? And that was kind of the concept. And we thought we were going to be here 10 years trying to teach everybody that you don't have to sit in that desk every day. And then COVID came along.
And who came along?
COVID.
Oh, COVID came along, yeah.
And then COVID came along and sped it up by 10 years. Because all of a sudden, every company in the world said, oh, yeah, we don't need to be here every day.
Yeah.
Would you come back 3 days maybe, 2 or 3 days? So it kind of just made us look a lot smarter than we were. because now everybody's going, oh, yeah, this is what our whole company's doing. Uh-huh. And we're like, so it's kind of the shift that the marketing and sales got a lot easier. It was one good thing that came from COVID, I guess, is that our marketing and sales got a lot easier because the companies, no matter how big they are, we have calls all the time with huge companies, and their corporate is pushing towards us because they're like, okay, we know we're getting everybody back 5 days a week. We can get it back three. We need to utilize that space where there's somebody in that seat all the time, where our conference rooms don't sit empty because, you know, cost of a conference room, some of these conference rooms will cost $500,000 in capital expenditures, and they sit empty all but one time a quarter they have a board meeting in there. So the concept is that we've got 32 conference rooms that anybody from the public can go on the app and rent by the hour. And if you want to have, say you have a great idea and you want to pitch it to investors, but you don't want to do it at a Starbucks or you don't want to go to the hotel and rent a little dark room somewhere, you can rent the 6th floor boardroom that looks like $10 million view up there on the top floor by the hour for $80 an hour and have your meeting there and be on the same footing and have a chance where people are looking at what you're presenting and not where you're at.
Right. The reason why I'm here is because of COVID, you know, because in television, I travel a lot. When a show pops up, I'll go and produce that show. COVID happens, but I'm always the field guy. I'm always the guy on location. But the only reason why I lived in Los Angeles is because of meetings and all of this thing. But then when COVID hit, all the editors and people like that and people that do post-production were the people that had to sit in house. But now that COVID happened, they've all in all these production companies realized I don't have to have a huge building with 40 editors, because the editors want to sit at home. They all have kids, and now they can sit at home and edit a TV show. So they changed all the rules. So now all of us are starting to move out. I love WeWorks. I actually had been to a bunch of WeWorks, and, you know, being here and being part of this community has been something that's really special in and of itself.
It was funny because the Miguel, the co-owner of WeWork, came down here, and Adam came a couple times, and they both came down here. And it was funny because they tried the concept, and a lot of their shirts say community at WeWork, and they tried to instill community in these places where people would walk by and not say hello to each other in some of these cities. So they were trying to instill community. But when they came here, it was funny because they were like, you have the community. We just don't have a place for it. The community's here because
Everybody says hello.
Everybody says hello.
When you live in Hollywood, like, there's not one person. Like, people will come and say hello to your dog and ignore you.
Yeah.
But
so for them, they were like,
it's really funny.
The hard work's already done. Like, you have the community. You just got to build the building. Like, it's the complete opposite.
It's the nicest place in the world. It really is the nicest place in the world. Let's dive into, like, the biking part of, you know, first off, this is now labeled the biking capital of the world. Mountain bike capital of the world.
It's trademarked. We got to be careful.
Yeah. No, it is trademarked, which I found very funny. Is it the mountain bike capital of the world?
You know, if it's not,
it's going.
I know some people that are going to make sure it is, and I have complete faith in them.
Yeah.
They follow through on what they say. So it may not have been when I first heard that, in my opinion, which is a humble opinion, but I also knew who said it, and I have no doubt that it'll get there.
Yeah, I mean, and I got to tell you, I went mountain biking not long ago, and I shit my pants, excuse my language, but I freaked out a little bit, and I was like, okay, maybe I shouldn't be doing this, whatever. Just recently, I kind of like got past the hump, and because I used to mountain bike in college, and then I think
these trails are a little different.
They're totally different, but in Texas, you know, it was a little bit flat. When you get to California, everything's just uphill and downhill, and there's just nothing fun, and it's not like I'm the most in shape person in the world, but now I'm... It's so cool. Everything here is being built by the greatest engineers in the world. Every time I look around, it's not like the buildings that are happening, much like you and your structure, they're not just throwing things up. People are really taking their time and really trying to figure out how to make this place great. And to see these trails and to see what they're doing to the to this mountain biking world. Have you always been a mountain biker?
No, I have not. I did when they built the very first slaughter pen. I lived over by there, and I'd done it a little bit in college like everybody else, and it was just a rooty old trail down in Fayetteville that was probably mostly where the homeless people just walk back in the woods,
right?
More than reality. But it's really cool because I think how I describe it to people is the intentionality, is that there's intentionality behind it. Every trail. It is. I had to look it up in the dictionary.
I'm going to go back. Can you look that up for me?
But if you think about every trail, there's a purpose for it. So I love, like, I don't know if you met Gary Vernon yet. He's Oz Trails. He has been since the beginning.
Okay. It's O'Reilly?
Gary Vernon.
No, okay.
Gary Vernon. And Oz Trails and that group and Trailblazers is the nonprofit that builds them. They sub it out to a lot of companies. But the guys, the passion these guys have, you know, like Woody at Progressive Trail Design and that's all they, you know, do. And they have a science. They have the degree of what that ramp should be to make it where when you hit it right, you jump, whether you hit it perfect or not. And I love that they use the trails to connect everything. So there's more and more you're starting to see that through Bella Vista and Bentonville and Northwest Arkansas as a whole, but especially up there. And it's neat that, you'll ride a trail 50 times and you'll be like, it's kind of weird and then all of a sudden,
it connects.
Something happens, and there's this one little piece that falls, and you're like, oh, this was meant to take me over there.
That just happened last week.
It happened last week. Like I said, I've lived here 20 years, and it's just amazing that the planning and the layout and the intentionality behind everything, and that's what we took into the building, is that we wanted that we didn't want to take away from the community. We wanted to be and give back to the community the parts we saw there was gaps. So we don't have a sit-down restaurant in our building. 230,000 feet and don't have a sit-down restaurant because there's 40 of them within a half a mile of our building. Walk. I know the people that own them. Go have lunch with them. You know what I mean? Let's give back to them. We'll have a grab-and-go because sometimes everybody doesn't have time to, you know, get a sit and eat. But why take away from the community? There's so many wonderful – we don't have a fitness center. People ask me, where's your fitness center? And I point to where we're sitting, to Blake Street, and say, hey, Go walk Blake Street. Right. Why would I do a fitness center? This is the most amazing fitness facility it's I've seen.
Pretty insane.
Yeah. I mean, so why try to take away from the community that's here? It's like we want to be in a clog. We want to be the part that's if you need to have a meeting or you need a place to sit down and work and good internet or you need an office, that's what we'll take care of. And event space. We got some event space coming in too.
That's really cool. So, but the bikeable part of it, walk me through just the biking part of the building.
So the ramps did two things. I am an old school downtown Bentonville boy. And I love what downtown Bentonville is. And I've been one of them that have said, we need to grow. I believe in growth. And I think the growth that we have is amazing, but we need to be good stewards of that growth. So the ramps did two things. They're really cool to have a ride up, but it also, if you look for Main Street, which is very special at any town, Main Street, the step backs of that 24 feet, because the ramps are 12 and a half feet and they're switchbacks, so they're 25 feet, but them 25 foot step backs every floor make it where when you walk down Main Street, there's not this huge 80 foot wall. Because when we were walking down New York City one time with one of the architects, I told him, he goes, you just don't like New York a whole lot. And I said, man, it's not my favorite because I get to see the sun for an hour a day. And you live where I live now, mm-hmm. I see the sun all day.
Right.
So I didn't want to be the person that started to take that away. So the step backs made it where when you walk down, you just didn't see this 80-foot glass wall. It was step back, so you can barely see the floor above it. So it looks like a story building when you're walking by it.
Oh, that's interesting. It's funny you say that because I've gone past it every day, and you have the parking garage, and it's before the building. Mm-hmm. And it's a little bit of an illusion because I would drive past it. I mean, I literally every single, probably six times a day, I'm going past it on my bike. And just until, because somebody goes, oh, it's huge. And I go, is it? And I looked at it just yesterday. It's massive.
They did their jobs though, because it doesn't. Now the parking deck is an 80 foot wall. I ain't going to lie. That is a parking deck. We tried to make the colors complement the natural copper that's on the building, but it is a parking deck. We have yet to figure out. We'll work on that one next time. It's beautiful, I think, for a parking deck, but it's a parking deck. But Main Street, that up and down Main Street, and it's being redone right now. The city's redoing Main Street. I think there's just something special about that. And now, with that, though, with the ramps are public. So during business hours, the public can walk up and down them ramps and enjoy the art that's in the ramps. They can walk up and down, and it gives energy to the building. Because if you're sitting in your office, you see people moving back and forth on bikes, back and forth walking in that energy feeds through to everybody.
And is there going to be, is there public access to certain things that?
So the first floor has a breezeway and there's a walk-up window with serving things like Gunsmer and Austin that I love down there. And Airship, Mark Bray and Airship are going to have the coffee shop and bar in the evenings right there in the lobby. And it's got a big two-story atrium, walk-up windows.
So you are going to have a bar.
You can bike up to it, walk up to it. Yeah, it will have a bar. It will have coffee, maybe smoothies. Who knows what Mark will do. Him and his team are amazing. He's another guy, a local person that I tell people the other day, I was talking to somebody, I like to do business with good people.
Right.
Mark and his team are great people. Mark's a great guy. You know, and so it's fun to be able to give him a venue to say, look, man, go shine. Here's your canvas. Let's see what you can do.
That's really cool. So yeah, the Airship, I've been going up to Kohler now and all that kind of stuff.
Amazing, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, like it's, a coffee shop where you can't drive to and you have to bike to. I mean, all these things are so unique for what's happening. And so there's also Specialized that's going in downstairs as well.
We couldn't have a bikeable building without a bike company. And I've been fortunate enough to get to meet Sam Benedict, and I may screw his title up. I think he's president of Mount, I don't know what he is. out in Santa Cruz, Morgan Hill. And him and Mike Sanier, the owner of it, were close. And I've got to know them guys, and they believe in Bentonville. They truly believe Bentonville is something special. Sam comes here all the time with his family. I've become good friends with Sam. And when we started really looking at the building, they said, we want to be a part of it. And I said, well, I want a bike company that'll be there for people and give back to the community. So they're going to locate one of their experience centers here in Bentonville. There's one in Santa Cruz and one in Boulder, and the third one in the world will be here in Bentonville.
And what is it? What is an experience?
It's not really, maybe have a little bit of retail if you forget your gloves or something, but they're not there to compete with the local businesses. They're there for if you say, I'm going to drop 15 grand on a bike. This is my bike of a lifetime I want to buy. They may say, hey, why don't you go to Bentonville? They have all different types of terrain. You can get a good short downhill run in. You can get enduro. You can get all these different types in Bentonville that you can't get in different places that may have just one. Go there, ride the four or five different bikes that fit that class and figure out which one's best for you. They'll spec you out. They'll fit you to it. Send it back to your local shop and be sitting there waiting for you when you get home.
Wow.
And then when people come to Bentonville, they may not ever been on a bike. And I want to be able to go down to the experience center, run down there. They teach them the safety. They give them the helmets. They put them on an e-bike, and I dare you to ride an e-bike and not smile. And they ride around and see Bentonville in a way that's unique. That's Bentonville. That is Bentonville. Whenever people come to town, first thing I do is I have a fleet of e-bikes, and I throw them on a bike and say, let's go. You want to see Bentonville, you do it from a bike.
Yeah, I agree. I bought two e-bikes, and I bought two more just because I wanted my friends to go with me.
That experience, the people, the smiles they have.
I truly don't understand why. I understand having a mountain bike, and I'm going to buy one soon and figure out, and I can't believe how much money they are, but we're going to figure that out. But I also don't know why every single person doesn't have just some clinker e-bike. I'll drop Hyper e-bikes on Walmart.com. Just they're like $600, and now I've gotten 10 people to buy them. And they're the greatest thing in the world. But I truly don't know why there's not like electric cruisers cruising all over this place, and there's just hardly room for traffic. I feel like it's coming, but
well, some of us. So I ride a. They have what's it's called e-bikes, but they're not full e-bikes. They're like half e-bikes. They're like time and a half. But
yeah.
They're, E-mountain bikes.
Yeah.
So a lot of the bikes you see around here, you don't know they are because you can't tell, but they are e-bikes. So for like me, that's what I ride every day. I have a commuter I never touch because I ride my e-mountain bike because if I'm going somewhere and I just all of a sudden be like, man, I want to hop off on a trail for 2 seconds. I got an extra 15 minutes. You can go. And me and the guy that used to be at the chamber, Graham Cobb, would laugh because you'd see our pants rolled up and our backpacks on. We'd be in full out work clothes and he'd be out there hitting. You had 15 minutes for the next meeting. You could catch 15 minutes.
It's really funny. Cause it is a little bit like the Cala. I mean, cause it really does feel like not a surfing community, but there is that element to it. And it has that outdoorsy thing.
And it has that community too, where there's very few times that people have a flat out here that 10 people don't stop to help them. That's the community, man. You're right. It's a lot like the surfing community here.
Yeah, this has been really kind of fun. Like, you know, I told somebody, hey, I wanted to do this and whatever, and I turned down some jobs and I was like, you know, I'm doing this because I keep meeting such interesting people, but I feel like the community doesn't know these people. Like, mm-hmm. I feel like everybody drives by the ledger and everybody's like, oh, it's the bikeable building, but nobody knows who it is and nobody knows anything about. Did you think of it? Are you the sole creator of
no,
the first
there's
mindset?
So many. No. There's so many talented people that have pieces in this. The architects, the rest of the ownership group. I am the person that actually is just sitting here today. I have more of
a. Are you the one that thought of the bikeable building or is you?
No, that was another one of the owners and my architect when I was not with them in New York.
Okay.
They called me up and said, hey, we're going to put bike ramps on the building. And I was like, we're going to do what? What? We're going to do what? And now the building wouldn't be it without it. But that to the point is that the whole group was collaborative. We approach this building differently. Even the contractors, Knappholz is our main contractor, and I know Nick and his family and Jake, they're great people. Third generation contractors in Arkansas here. And we went to him and said, okay, I'm going to do this different. Not going to hard bid everything. I want the best subs that are in the market. Who are the best and going to be here? And let's talk to them and say, okay, we know on this size of project, here's what you need to make. And let's put them in the room, and they actually sat in the room for hours, probably hundreds of hours, with the architects designing the building. And we got feedback from the HVAC guys and the electrical guys that actually were doing the work in the plans. So it wasn't somebody sending out plans going and some guy sitting there saying, this is what it's going to be. It was a collaboration from the beginning. And it created this sense, and it should be, that this is something special and different. And that's why when you walk the building, the intentionality of everything, pipe conduit is something stupid, but if you look at the electrical conduit, when they bend and turn, they all match exactly the same because I've watched them rip them out if they don't, because that's pride and they want to be able to bring their kids back. And it was something that from every aspect of it, it was thought through again. We never rushed this project. This is a 100-year project. This was not done. It'll never sell. It's right in the operating agreement. This is something that was done to be done right. And to hopefully start setting the bar. There's been so many wonderful things done in Bentonville, and we want to keep stepping that up the best we can with our part. And I want to see what comes next, like what somebody else does. Let's because it's great for the community. All these things that we push the boundaries on is amazing for the community. We never sat in the room and we had this saying. There was two sayings we had said pretty much every meeting, is that everybody has the same seat at the table. But if you're not contributing, we'll ask you to leave the table. Yeah, but everybody's seat was the same.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you were the guy that was literally digging the ditch that morning to run a sewer pipe, or you were the world-renowned architect, the seats were the same at the table. Nobody was over anybody. And it really was a neat collaboration. I love to just sit back and watch what came of it.
So that's interesting. I know we had this conversation when we briefly met. But you took a lot of pride in the fact that all the workers from the bottom to the top have such pride in this building.
One of my favorite moments was I was going for a run on a Saturday, and we purposely, it joins to the park. So the other side of the building that faces A is a shear wall, and it was intentionally done over there so that there's privacy. So if you have private stuff in a conference room in that, people aren't walking up and down the ramp. So there's a side that's public facing and a side that's private. That's why the one side has the ramps and the other side doesn't. But on that side, there's a park, and it's in the Quilta Parks that the city's going to do over the next few years. And we purposely had rights to block it off and use it, but we left it open, part of it, so people could come and see the progress. Because how do you say you're doing something for the community and not include them? And I remember running one Saturday and seeing one of the steel workers with his three kids standing there at the fence, and he was pointing and showing them what he had done that week. And I realized we've done our jobs. This is what it's supposed to be. You pay people for the first 95%, but that last five you earn. And I've told my team that. Everybody on my team, you earn that respect. That's not given to you and you can't buy it.
Where are you from again?
I grew up in Iowa. And I came down to go to NEO and play baseball in Oklahoma. And I was a 2-year college, and then I came to the U of A to finish school.
Okay. Were you always an architect? Were you?
I'm not an architect.
Oh, I mean, builder or what are you then?
No, they call me a developer.
Okay,
I'm a big cat herder. No, I have different hats. Some days I sit with bankers and talk about financing for hours. Some days I sit in construction meetings. Some days I sit with architects. Some days I sit with tenants. I guess I probably got a little OCD in me, or ADD, and that's why I have to do the job because it's different every day.
Yeah.
But I really, really try to, if I've had a blessing over the years, is that I can see talented people and I want to let them do what they do. And I try not to get in their way. If you can get out of their way, most of the time people, if you give them a chance, they'll shine.
Mm-hmm.
You just got to put them in their lane and let them go.
What were some of your first projects?
My first one that we built ground up was actually for a company called Shell Oil.
Okay. I've heard of those guys.
Yeah, they do oil. And I remember it was a little bit more unorthodox back then, and we got a 10-year lease with them. Man, I was happy, man. I was 25 years old, man. I'm a genius. They sent me their specs, and I cut the number, cut the deal, and I am smart. They sent me their spec sheet book, and I mean, it was a book, 4 inches thick of how everything had to be done. Man, I thought I was going to die that first year trying to read through that book and make sure the building was built to that. But it was a great lesson. Always know what you're signing up for. And I got it done. And they were my tenant. And I ended up actually 15 years selling everything. Still know a lot of the people there. My second tenant was Exxon Oil. They saw what I did with Shell, and Exxon was one of my second tenants. And I hope them NDAs are old enough. I don't get in trouble now. But
it's all right. Anything you don't want, I can get. We're editing this thing.
Oh, so they're fine. They would probably be happy. But I learned that we built garden style buildings, but the difference was just being there, showing up. Like if something was wrong, I was there. Like it wasn't call this person in New York City and wait on the hold. Like if something went wrong, you know, that was my deal. That was our family business. You know, I've been fortunate that my, longest partner is my wife, and for you know that was our family's money. Like we never had huge family money. We don't, neither one of us, and what we did was ours. So you know if the sprinkler pipe broke on Saturday, we were there. That was our family's livelihood. And, you know, I think instilling that in the people you have working for you and that ownership, if you can do that, that will conquer about anything.
Okay. So you really built this whole thing, everything that you have, you've kind of built from the ground up.
Yeah, I've had some really good partners along the way. Like I said, the main one, my wife, Misty, but I've had some partners that have been right about as long, about 20 years now. We did a lot of nursing homes in Texas. That was one part of what we did. And then I did office buildings up here. So I've got to learn very institutional-like development. I think we probably had about 50 or 60 nursing homes we did. So it was very cookie-cutter, very stamped out. But there's still some good learning there. Another good friend of mine did developments of huge conference hotels. And he gave me some great advice. Brian Stebbins, a gentleman that passed away, did South Lake Dallas. And I got to learn some from him. He did that little downtown square down there.
Yep.
And Brian, I got to hang out with him. So I got to learn from so many cool people personally. And then somebody I got to do this project with was, we co-developed it with Blue Crane, and Brenda Anderson was there at the time, is still around. And you know, Brenda has been around town since, she would tell you the date. It's almost as long as I've been alive, I think. And people like that, you just try to learn because you can just see their talents and you just hope to soak some of it off them because they're so talented. And don't get in their way. You know, I think the thing that makes it different is that I try to find the team we have in the building. All of them people, a lot of them came to us. If you do something special and different in the right way, it seems that good people will find you.
Mm-hmm.
It was amazing when everybody else was having trouble hiring people. We had people like walking in the door saying, "Hey, I want to work here." And that's cool. That's when you know that your team's done their job. And, you know, the ownership group, I have a couple other partners in this building, all local people. And then my one partner, 20 years, lives in North Carolina, but everybody else is local. And they believed that this was something good for the community.
Mm-hmm.
Like this was something to do where if somebody came and had a startup, this could be a viable option for them. Because you have office, you have a place to work, you have a place to play, you have trails, you have nature everywhere, you have beautiful rivers. And how could we put this area on par with the Silicon Valleys, the San Franciscos, Austins of the world, Denver's.
Yeah. It's fascinating to see really what's happening. And like, and you've obviously been around Bentonville and all of this stuff since college.
Yeah.
Which I'm assuming is smooth as your skin is and my skin is. I'm sure that was a little time ago. So, how has this city changed and how do you, because it's just such a cool vibe here that I know that everybody kind of wants to keep Bentonville the same. Like there's a culture here that kind of draws people in. Like you said, like, I mean, I want to be, it's just, you come in, you feel it, you want to be part of it. Two things. I want to know, are there cool things that you know about that are coming to town that other people may not know about, or if you're allowed to see even say, but like, what are the things that are happening in this town and where do you see this town going?
Yeah, sadly, I know of a lot of things coming and they're just amazing. It's just the tip of the iceberg, but I can't talk about it. That's not my place. That's theirs. But the things I see, it's just, I know that the next 10 years are going to be more transformational than the last 10. And that's so cool. It's cool because I have a 17 and 14-year-old and I tell them every day, watch this. You'll never see this again in your lifetime.
In anywhere else, anywhere in the world.
And I think the cool part is that a lot of the pushing is from people that grew up here and understand. I think what people, I tell people all the time, because they say, how is it? So what's the stickiness here? And I think we're stewards of it. I'm a steward of it. I've been blessed to raise my kids in this community. But there was people here before that had community. The Don Tysons and the Mark Simmons of the world, Miss Hunt and her husband JB, Mr. Walton. I mean, these people were all friends in the community. They took care of each other. When one was in trouble, they may be their competitor during the day, but if they were really in trouble and it meant harm to their family or it could hurt them, they were the first people to be there for them. And that's not the real, that's not the world anywhere else I've seen it.
Right.
And that was instilled. So you flew into XNA out in the middle of the cow pasture. Has anybody ever told you why it was there?
No.
So there was a meeting. It's because something called the Northwest Arkansas Council. And there's a map. And I think they still have it. Hopefully they still have it. Nelson Peacock has it hidden somewhere probably. But there's a map. And it's signed by J.B. Hunt, Mr. Walton, Mr. Tyson. And they said, we don't need this to be a Fayetteville, a Bentonville, or a thing. We need it to be a regional airport for us all to grow. That's why it's not in any town. Is because they all had close to the same access to it.
Oh, wow.
And it would help them all grow. Because they saw it as a region, as NWA. Not Tyson and Springdale or Bentonville and Walmart or, you know, Mark Simmons out in Siloam. They said, hey, how can we do this where our region grows? And just that whole approach and concept, that's community. That's saying I'm going to put somebody else's needs before mine.
That was one of the stories also that like always kind of captivated me. Like, you know, it's not like I grew up like a lot of people here, you know, Walmart, cause it's kind of just in the world or, you know, Tyson or, you know, JB Hunt, you know, it's not something we talked about, but coming here, and it's not a story. It's more about like this town was built and I forget where they used to sit. You can tell me that, but like that every certain day of like once a month or every week that JB Hunt and, Tyson and, Sam Walton would all go together. They would all sit down and they would literally plan how they wanted to build the city.
What you're referring to is what's the Northwest Arkansas Council.
Oh, okay.
That's what they do.
That's what
that is. Yeah. It's Nelson Peacock runs it. Marshall Savers is the chairman of it now. And their whole goal is to, how can we promote the region? And then were the guys, that's who has the map that they all signed. It said, we're going to do it. And they signed it that day. It's the council. It's Northwest Arkansas Council.
It's fascinating.
Yeah.
That three guys that were buddies.
I don't know if they're on the council. I know they're very active. And I know Mr. Walton is, Mr. Jim is, but Tom and Stuart are too. Does that make sense? So one of them's grandchildren are active in that same thing. And that's the, you know, the sense of my families aren't, but you take that and you look at it and go, look, that's how we treat everybody. And if we all do that, we will continue to have the place that we have now.
You know, not to keep harping on this, but it is amazing when you kind of, they know that there's big growth something and you see these, you know, they're tearing up, they're putting on huge news. I'm assuming it's like sewers or water treatment. They're planning for the future in big ways. And then you see things like Detroit and like all the things that are happening with water and, you know, people aren't playing Mississippi. Yeah. There it is. Yeah. I knew I was saying the wrong place. Cause that's what I do. it's kind of my thing. But you see you see how people didn't plan or that they were like, well, we see there's a problem, but we're not going to address it right now. And to see these people that really, you know, they have the means, they are fortunate to be able to do it, but they're not here. Keep taking from people. They're really like developing and building the coolest.
Look at the headquarters. That is like we don't even have talked about it yet. And that project in any other town in the world would be all you talked about.
Right.
It's an amazing campus.
That is kind of crazy.
I mean, think about that.
And speaking of everybody, just so everybody, because everybody might not know what we're talking about, Walmart headquarters. Walmart has a headquarters here. It looks like it's
300 and some acres. It's amazing. Yeah,
but this new headquarters is for now. Please tell me if I come, because I just take information and I regurgitate it as if I'm a pro, that I know everything. From what somebody told me, that how many acres is the new?
I think it's 300 and some.
Is insane how large this place is.
Lakes and ponds and
that's nature. What I was going to say. They said it's going to be nicer than the Google headquarters, is what I've heard.
I'm sure they're not going to be embarrassed for anybody from Google to walk around that campus. I'll never say one's better than the other, but we'll let the people decide.
So, sorry, Google, you can come on soon, or you got to build a new building because Walmart's about to crush you.
But that is the ultimate for that family to say, hey, we have this and we're going to reinvest in Northwest Arkansas. Because I lived through the times when, I don't know if you remember, AT&T used to be in San Antonio.
I did not.
I mean, AT&T used to be in San Antonio, right downtown, beautiful buildings. And they pulled out because they wanted to be closer to an international airport and went to Dallas, DFW.
Okay.
And it killed the town. I mean, struggled. San Antonio struggled terribly downtown. Almost just, you just walk around as a ghost town.
Yeah. Oh, it's weird.
And for them to say, you know, there's probably places with better airports. There's probably, you know, there's these things, but they said, no, we're going to invest in this community because we see we can have talent. And if we can have the most talented people, we'll have an amazing company. You know, and for a company to be that insightful, that looking forward, it's just amazing to me to go, look, we'll invest in where if we can get talented people, everybody wins because right. talent feeds talent. And then it all iron sharpens iron. It's as old as the ages. And that's what a lot of this, I think, and I don't want to speak for anybody in that family or Walmart, but I think a lot of what you see and we enjoy is to invest in that company for the next 30 years. Yeah, so it's relevant.
Yeah. I'm lucky enough to have bought a little piece of property right across the street from the headquarters. And I look across the street and I'm like, I may be the luckiest guy in the world right now to see all the things that are happening.
I can't wait to see, you know, I hope I'm around, but like my son just chose where he's going to go to school. He is a senior this year. So he said, he gave a list. I don't think so. he wanted to look at Boulder, UC, Colorado. He wanted to look at Texas, Austin, Norman, OU, and of course the UVA. And he went and looked at his tours. We spent time at all of them. And, you know, he's like, Dad, I'm going to go to the UVA. And I don't know if he'd have made that decision 15 years ago, 20 right. years ago. So, you know, and if you've noticed, there's investments in the schools too, from all these companies, Tyson and Walmart and the Walton family privately. So they're making it where they're making a dream for me. Does that make sense? My son's going to go 30 minutes away to school
and
have a great education. Yeah. And I have it. And now I think the next push of like our office, all these other things, we're trying to make it where we keep them now. When they go to school, they don't go back to Texas. Maybe they stay here and they go, hey, this is really cool here. I've got access to the great outdoors. I can get a great job. Cost of living's very reasonable. And I'm staying, you know? And so it's kind of a path, but if that can keep being done with everybody doing what's going on, we'll win as a community.
Yeah. It's just, I just love it. Yeah. I love it. Do you have, I mean, I'm sure you do. And I'm not going to put you on the spot because we'll edit whatever, but, do you have any, whether it's secondhand stories or whatever, about those guys back in the day or anything cool about, like?
I have one, and, you know, sometimes folklore is folklore, so I'll put it at that. This is not my story.
Okay, great.
But I heard this story, and I think it describes a community, and I hope. I may get a call from Mark Simmons. He may say, hey, Joshua. But I think that there was a investigative report done on a company here, and it was a 2020 thing. You know how they do the secret cameras back in the day. And
I have a mother. Worst. Mother's watch 2020.
You know, it's the worst. This is the worst. I think it was probably a chicken plant. Worst chicken plant in the world and this and that. And guys, tank stopped. Contracts got canceled. And a competing chicken company, the owner of it, called them up and said, hey, I want to buy all your product at the full price. And he's like, what? And he's like, that was a cheap shot. That wasn't right. We all know that was BS. He goes, you need to get through this. And he could have probably broke him and bought the company, but he saved.
Oh, so
company.
You're saying you just
his competitor bought it.
But like, so 2020 uncovered.
They went into a chicken plant and
it was just one of them.
It was just one of them, but none of them were pretty anyway. And it was, you know, they do their thing. They're selling TV. It is what it is. And a lot of contracts got canceled, pulled this and that. And his competitor called up and said, I'll buy it all. Full price, you know, I know you guys are good guys and you're my neighbors, and bought it all, saved the company probably. You know, that's what Northwest Arkansas is about.
Yeah. That's, it's incredible. Like, cause you do, I mean, I'm a big fan of the show, Succession.
Oh yeah. I've not seen that, but I saw they won some stuff last night. I didn't
so
seen
good.
It.
You should totally watch it. It actually taught me a little about the stock market and all that kind of stuff about people like overtaking companies and all that kind of stuff. And it's brutal. Like those guys are all ruthless. And to think that like in this little community, there was like, you know, three guys that, you know, just,
there was more than that.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. There was, you know, and I think it oozes through. Like you can't, I mean, you can go to about anywhere and there's good people everywhere in these communities, which is so cool. I think I'm thinking through all the different, you know, the family owned banks I know here in town that are local Arkansas. You have, and they're all just good people.
Right.
So yeah, it's still a small town. So if people aren't good people, it doesn't take long to get.
Take long. People know who you are.
Yeah.
I feel like I know nine. I mean, I feel like I know as many people here as I do in Hollywood for 25 years. I mean, I'm an outward going guy, and I like to shake hands and I like to meet people. But I swear I walk down the streets now and it's like, hey, what's going on? Hey, and I love it. I mean, I can't.
Yeah. You're going to see somebody if you don't do right by them, you'll see them.
Oh yeah. And I kind of feel like I'm a good guy. So I think I feel like I'm pretty good. I'll do something stupid.
We all make mistakes,
but you know, I'll definitely embarrass myself, but usually it'll be a good time in the whole thing of it. One more thing. I want to talk about this. Let me show you, buddy. So I scanned. Well, I want to talk about two things.
Okay.
You can talk about the art first, or we can talk about what happens after you scan this little code.
And there's a bunch of different things that happen when you scan. So you're going to have to tell me what happens with that one. I'll tell you some of them that are coming.
Oh, wait. They all do something different?
Well, I don't know what phase. So I know the phases that are coming out. We'll go back to that. I'll tell you about the art. The art is another great story. So our architect, Michelle Rochkin, was in town. If you ever have time, look him up. It's amazing. It's like the architect of the century from Mexico, Michelle Rochkin.
Okay.
He was signed by Virgin Records at 18 as a professional drummer. He was a rock star.
Wow. Okay.
Then he was a mountain bike racer, professional mountain bike racer. And then he went to architecture school. His father's a famous doctor in Mexico, and he's an amazing architect. He had a friend that came in with him named Stefan Sagmeister, and Stefan was very humble, but I started looking him up, and he had done like album covers for the Stones, for Aerosmith, everybody. He'd done Ben and Jerry's ice cream. He retired and he was done. He gave his firm to a woman so that the largest graphic design firm in the world would be a woman owned business, and walked away.
That's amazing.
And so Stefan was in, he just came in to ride bikes, and he was riding bikes around. He saw this artist over here at the Momentary, called the guy up, did a FaceTime. Was like, you were in Bentonville. I'm in Bentonville. And he's this big Austrian guy, about 6'6". Nick Cave had something. He's good friends with Nick, had something at Momentary. And he's just like, I want to do something here. And I'm like, okay. So we rode the next morning, and it was a fluke, but we rode the next morning and we were having coffee over at the Meteor, and it was cold. There's ice on the handlebars. It was too cold. We shouldn't have been riding, having a cup of coffee. Another friend of mine that's in my peer group happens to be one of the owners, or I won't say, walked up and was having coffee with us. And he's like, y'all rode this morning? We're like, yeah. He's like, dude, that's hard, man. That's awesome. And I introduced him to everybody, and Stefan said, I want to do something. And he's like, yeah. So Stefan came back a few weeks later and sent us his presentation. And at first I was like, how are we going to be able to afford this guy? Like, it was a pittance what he charged us. And he was these bugs carrying these jewels. And the concept was that when he was here, we had a helicopter tour, and everywhere we landed and went, there was these bugs, and everybody was like, oh, there's bugs everywhere. He's like, these bugs are beautiful. Like he lives in New York, and he was like, these bugs are amazing here.
Oh, so the bugs that are on each of these stickers,
they're all Arkansas native bugs.
I figured that, you know?
Yeah. And he was like, so his, and I hope I don't butcher this, Stefan. If you watch this, I'm gonna try my best.
That's all right.
With the Austrian accent, it sounds amazing.
Okay.
But that the bugs are something that people step on and look down on, but as a community, when they work together, they're carrying these things that people value so much, these jewels. And they're carrying them up the ramp. So there's around a hundred of them carrying them up the ramp. And at the top, they lay a saying in jewels that says, now is better. And through the pandemic and through all the things he's done in New York and Vancouver, he's taken this concept of now is better, and the vaccines are better. Now is better. COVID of 100 years ago could have killed, you know, so many millions more people. Now is better. Pregnancy. Childbirth used to be very, very, very dangerous. Mm-hmm. Now with our medicine and what we've learned, now is better. And it's really neat to think about all these things. So it says now is better. So we're sitting around and I'm like, you know, and the other guy that I was talking about, he's like, yeah, I like it. This is cool.
So wait a second. So he had created this is the pan. So when you're saying like goes up the
The bugs are carrying these jewels up the ramps, all the way up the switchbacks to the top and on the sixth floor on the patio. Like
currently, right now.
On the patio. Yeah, okay. Well, and I'm going to get to how they did.
But are they painted? Or are they?
That's a great question, because that's what I thought. Okay, I'm like, are we painting this on the concrete? What are we doing? He's like, oh, no. No. He's like, a good friend of mine I've skied with since I was two. His name's Michael Meyer. He's a fifth generation Mosaic from Munich, Germany. And I'm like, oh boy.
Oh
boy. Yeah.
You're like, wait a minute. I'm in charge of the budget.
Yeah. It's like, I'm in charge of the budget committee's really, and it's like these Venetian tile that they hand make the tile, bust them into the little pieces, and then make these mosaics in Munich, Germany, this family. It got around, like we were looking at it, and the mosaics are actually Ozart, another. Like you say, things just come around. And Ozart said, we want the community to have this. We will take this installation on. So we went, talked to the concrete guys. And I talked to a guy that poured concrete that morning. He said, we got to get these mosaics in the concrete somehow. And back to putting people in a lane, he's not an engineer somewhere, an architect. This is the guy that pours hundreds of yards of concrete every day, the best Naples concrete guy they got, Andy. And Andy goes, let me work on it for a few weeks. He came back and figured out that if we could get them cut within a millimeter and get a vector file from Germany, as they made these one-off bugs, he could lay these butcher blocks in the concrete and spray mold on them, knew exactly when to pull them, and then there would be an imprint for these mosaic tile to lay in, and they could grout them in. And this whole process is done.
I also love that the concrete guy has got a concrete name.
Andy the concrete guy is exactly what
I think he's over on an unnamed project doing a lot of concrete right now. After he left our building, he went to the really big project because Andy's the guy you want.
Okay.
Andy
the concrete guy.
So now there's, because of community, like Ozart and them guys, you know, Elizabeth and them doing this, as you walk up the public ramps, you will see all these mosaics that were handmade in Munich, Germany by a family. From a design from Stefan for anybody to go and see and take pictures of and look at and admire.
Wow.
That's
the stuff we haven't seen yet. That's the stuff we can't even see. That's
still behind the middle of next month, go walk the ramp and you'll see all these bugs. And they start in the sidewalk. They go through the breezeway right by where you can pick the coffee up at the window, you know, right past a local optometrist. Allison is a great optometrist in Fayetteville. She's going to have a little shop. Specialized will be right there. There's one more named unnamed tenant on that side that comes out, I think, later this month. And then you turn and walk up the ramps. And as you're following this cool little discovery of all these beautiful mosaics. And then it comes to the top and there's probably 40 feet across the saying up there of these mosaics. It says now is better. And you're on six floors up looking over downtown Bentonville.
And that's great. And one more time, just because so the bugs, they're local and they're carrying the gems, just, and that symbolizes that they're,
People believe the gems are the most valuable thing, but it's really the message that's what's valuable. What our community does with the treasures we have is more important than the treasures.
True that.
I didn't come up with that, man. See,
I mean, you know
that's way above my head.
You're just a pretty face behind that.
You know, that's the problem.
That's amazing. Okay, so then I scanned it.
Yeah. What happened when you scanned yours?
So I scanned mine, and it told me where all the it told me the location of where all the
So it was a treasure hunt run. Okay, perfect.
It's a treasure hunt run. Yeah.
Awesome. There was 13 of them, I think. We wanted to get people going out to local businesses,
right?
So we put them with all great local partners. They're all great people, and I couldn't name them all now.
It basically took you to all the hotspots. It took you to the Momentary. It actually took you to your home office. It took you to the bank. It took you to
That's sad. I don't even know where it took you to.
The Ledger, when it opens, it'll take you there. And, oh my God, I'm just spacing out all the cool the Meteor. I should scan it right now, and I can just tell you.
Well, it's neat too, because what.
Kids are going to love it too. Oh, and by the way, I'm for sure going to, and you win prizes if you mail it in. And I was like, Aaron, we're going to do this.
Yeah. Totally. I'm not sure what the prize is, but it'd be cool. I bet.
Yeah.
The team I have is just amazing. I just love that. And we have some great partners, you know, like we've been able to give away great things for Specialized all the time. So what will be coming, and I hope I'm not spoiling a lot, but so I was sitting there one day and like, I want people to experience a building. Like, we've had some marketing here and there, but not a lot. And you're going to see this come out, is that some of them cards that will come in is I'll hand you one in a couple months. and it'll be a day pass to go work in there for a day, just like a member. Cool. And you scan it, and they scan it at the front desk. You scan it, it says a free day at the Ledger. Go work there. Or it could be a free hour or two in a conference room. And I want people to go experience it. So that's why I wasn't sure what yours, but right. I said, so that's how we're going to get people to experience this, because I could tell you all about it all day long, but go feel it, go see it. Like, there's so many more talented, but for me just to try to tell you is just such an injustice. Like, go experience what all these people have put into and go see it. And here's a card, and just scan that and go experience it, because I believe the building.
So each of these little thingies, each of the little
QR codes,
yeah, they're not the same. So it's not.
Well,
so
them may be the ones, but that was for the ones that are coming. That was for the treasure hunter that they had. Then there'll be some coming out where we'll have cards, and it'll be for different things. And we'll put them in certain places with people and strategic partners. And we just want people to go experience it, because, you know, we kind of felt like the community did that with us. They had to put up with the road closures. They had to put up with the noise. And we want to give back and let them see, hey, this is something that was given back to the community.
It's really cool. What are you most proud of when it comes to this build? Well, before I get into that, let's get into this thing's about to open. Mm-hmm. I mean, you guys are cranking right now. I mean, you have got
the team's amazing down there.
Construction
team is, yes, running.
They are running. I mean, they are, and everybody looks happy. I got to be honest with you. I stop for them, and they cross that little street with their little pails.
We've got very good crews. We're very fortunate, because I've been here long enough, and I know the guys that are really good. And a lot of the owners of the companies I know, and we're fortunate. We have the A team. You know, everybody has probably some better teams, some better crews that are better than others, and we got the A team from everybody. It was really cool, and for them, it was like an all-star project, because the electrician is the best electrician team next to the best HVAC team. So they don't have to tell them their jobs, like on lots of jobs they're on. Does that make sense?
Yep.
It was like an all-star team.
That's great.
Yeah, it was really neat.
And I know that you had told me how proud of you are of all the features in the building. Like, everything is just done to the...
I want people to see it, but there's every... All the cabinets were made here in Arkansas. We didn't order them off some magazine. Napold's cabinetry, and they had this is the first, I think, to come out of their new shop. They built a new facility just to start doing projects like this that were landmark legacy projects. Every one of them cabinets was made in Conway and brought up here and trucked up here, packaged and put in by them same people. A lot of the wood, I can't remember the percentage, so I'm not going to lie, but a lot of the wood was Arkansas wood. Just the copper on the building is real copper. We had a capital stack and owners that understood when I explained to them that if you let me buy things before I should, it's going to help us in the end. And especially with COVID, it saved us. But like the copper, I keep track of, and it was almost, we bought it, and there's a lot of copper on that building. If you have
a lot of copper. It's basically covered in copper.
It's copper and glass.
Yeah. And just you did that because it keeps, and this seems to be kind of an ongoing Arkansas thing. You guys are trying to keep the visual imprint, I guess, nature. Like, you guys want to keep it earthy. And
when you walk up it, the ledges of the porches are kind of like the overcaves. If you go hiking out in a different place out by the Buffalo River, and that nature feel of copper's a living thing. It'll change a little bit. We had it stop frozen where it'll only change 10% compared to the 100% most copper does, but it's still going to change. So every year it'll change a little bit and grow as the building grows and the community grows. And yeah, it's a living material. But the copper alone, I think, was quadrupled in price from when we bought it. So that would have been a hard, we still have to have a business at some point. So it would have been hard to spend that now. But everything just worked out, and everybody said, oh yeah, that makes sense. And that makes sense. And, you know, we treated all of our partners in that aspect, all of our construction partners, with respect. There were some increases that, you know, we didn't make them eat. We understood what happened during COVID, and we tried to work with them and be good partners, because we want them there next time.
Right. Yeah. It was tough times.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm glad COVID happened.
We built this straight up through COVID. It was almost the whole project was in COVID.
Were you nervous at ever because of it being a workspace and with COVID happening? Or I guess that got
by
you more excited?
By the time we enclosed it in the last few months, so it was actually the safest place to go because it was open. So there was air. And you're six stories up. The wind blows up there.
Right.
So it wasn't, you know, we had to do some virtual meetings and that, but it was never that really dangerous on the job because it wasn't enclosed.
I meant more about like, just like, I mean, the world shut down and like, yeah. You know, just about finishing the project, I guess, or
it was, you know,
or being the right idea.
Always, I guess you said, I still worry about it's now it's the right idea that COVID helped the idea. I was worried, I guess somewhat about, I mean, it was hard because engineering firms and architecture firms were shutting down. But we had earned the respect of our teams and they were working at home on it. I literally had architects and engineers coming to my office because their office would be closed, and I had fast enough internet that they could do it because they couldn't do it from home, but they wanted to finish because they were part of that team and they didn't want to let the rest of the team down.
That's very cool.
Yeah, you can't speak enough about the people. There's thousands of people that have put their talents into that building. That's why I'm just humbled by the true what they can do. It's amazing.
When does this thing open? I know that, mm-hmm. Like you, one reason I was, by the way, Sue, I think I may have said this in the beginning, having you on here, first off, thank you so much because it's really cool because you are, you know, one thing I wanted to do the reason why I wanted to do the show is because I came here and there's so many people in this community doing such cool things. Yeah. And I feel like the community kind of knows what's going on, but I really wanted to introduce the people that are creating such a great community to the community itself, because I think we all are kind of in awe of what's happening and we really want to understand who these people are and why they're doing it and why they're doing such cool things. So when does this thing open, man?
The first members will move in October 17th, barring some catastrophe.
Yeah. Right.
But yeah, it's they're finishing up. So by the end of October, anybody should be able to walk over there and walk up the ramps around Halloween time. It's a beautiful time. October, for people that aren't here, is one of my favorite months. It's the best mountain biking month. It's the perfect weather. It's usually about mid-70s in the day, 50s at night. October is one of our banner years. You notice a lot of the mountain bike races are during then. People can stroll down, go walk up the ramps, see it. And we're staging different things. So like the event space will become available first of next year. We have a beautiful event space up on 6 that overlooks downtown. It's about 20,000 feet. I think you can have 999 people up there at once.
Wow, that's a lot of people.
You know, but we're trying to, I really have really, really tried to instill in my staff that we're not opening everything at once because what people are experiencing, that's very important to me. So we're putting the people on to the co-working people in first. We have some larger tenants that are going to take a whole floor. They'll come next year. The event space will come next year. Conference rooms we'll sprinkle them in at the end of the year. Let people start booking them. Only book them every other hour to make sure we do it right and everybody has a really good experience. Make sure that we're doing what's got all of us here, taking care of people. Because it's weird that office has such a hospitality side to it now. But it does. Mm-hmm. And I really, you know, I'm not a hospitality guy, but I do want people taken care of. So we want to make sure that when we open, it'll be kind of slow and methodical how we do it. But I would rather take my time because I want to be right.
All right. Well, I guess one last question.
Sure.
What are you most proud of in this whole thing? It's not like, because I want you to keep talking as much as you want.
Most proud of. I'm most proud that the process that's so unorthodoxed to tell a contractor and subcontractors they have the job, put the operations team in with the architects and engineers in the beginning to the whole process worked. I'm very proud of how it came out. And what it instilled in everybody, the ownership that got created from all the people, and letting that work itself out. That's what I was most proud of, is how they can be done still. So many things these days are done where an architect draws a plan. They hand it to the general contractor. They forget to draw things. There's scope gap. They make them eat it. They bid it hard. They get the lowest number they possibly can. The guy may not be in business next year. I don't believe in that process. I think it's anti what we are in Northwest Arkansas, so that the process, and I love the other owners I have that had the faith to say, yeah, this, you know, this will work. And it took a leap of faith on everybody's part, but that's what I'm most proud of, is that then people, if you walk that job, you should go down and tour the building before it's done. You'll see the camaraderie between all these different subs that have no connection. And that to me is what I'm most proud of, that they interact with my team, that the team that will be running the building interacts with the construction team, that interacts with the architecture and design team. That's what I'm most proud of.
Is there anything else about Bentonville that, I guess, just that you're excited to see or that you're thinking about? Or
I'm excited to see what I like I said, I probably know more than I should about what's coming, but I'm excited to see about the people and the minds. And one of the things of the building that you'll see me lurking somewhere around there, sitting there just having coffee, because I want to see the interactions from somebody that comes from a Fortune 1 company that used to be stuck in like a prison.
Right.
That's talking to a guy that's a startup that moved here from Silicon Valley because he got a free bike from the NWA council or something.
Right.
I want to see them casual interactions and what will come from it, the innovation that we could possibly have in this community. That's what I want to see. That would be cool to me.
Was there anything else, man? Like this is such a cool opportunity to like get to know you.
Oh,
I
thank mean, you.
It's a really a lot of fun, and I'm looking forward to kind of getting anybody and everybody in this seat, and you know, so yeah. Feel free to spread the word and try to get, you know,
there's many more people that you should talk to that have so much more to do with moving this community than me.
Oh, I knew. I got one more thing.
What's your question?
I want to talk about Format Fest a little bit.
Format, beautiful.
Are you going?
Absolutely, dude. I love that thing.
Yeah,
that group. I'm glad it's awesome. I mean, we're gonna have a music festival here. 3 days. Amazing bands.
I can't wait. It's so strange though. By the way, it's like, you know, you live in Hollywood, whatever, and everybody's going to Coachella, and they're going to, whatever. What's the other one? What's Josh?
Burning Man.
Burning Man.
Just happened a couple weeks ago, yeah.
And then the guy that's part of this is the Lollapalooza guy?
I think so. I think C3, that's what I've heard. I think that's what it is. And maybe out of Austin, maybe something to do with ACL. Yeah. I don't know, something. Whatever. But yeah.
Yeah.
No, I mean, for our little town, it's just amazing. And have you seen the venue?
No, I haven't.
Oh, if anybody knows Price Coffee, we're a little sugar out there. So I'm partial. I actually live on... my property touches Little Sugar, and I live up on the top. I'll look off the bluff and see it below. But I love Little Sugar. It's where all the gravel rides in the world start from, it seems like. There's trails out there. It's very exciting to see. I mean, it's one of the most – if you ever get a chance to drive out 72 and just drive down a road called Price Coffee, that's where it's going to be.
Is 72 J Street?
Take 72 out towards River Girl out. Central. You know Central?
Yeah.
Just take Central out of town. You okay. Go about 2 miles.
That is 72.
Yeah.
I was arguing with my girlfriend. Is Central called 72
yep.
or whatever?
That's it. Okay. You go out, like, just out going north. You go about 2 miles out, and you drop, and there's a little horse farm where they do psychiatry horses, where they do medicine with horses there. Like, it's amazing. Miss Swanson's farm.
They do what?
They have therapists that have the kids ride horses because it's therapeutic for them. Amazing place right there, and right next to it behind it, this is huge, beautiful valley. The sun sets at the back of it. You need to see. It's amazing.
Okay.
It's the probably one of the bigger valleys around here, and it's in that valley. It's just going to be, it will be an amazing setting. And I mean, the bands that are coming, just one of them would be an amazing show.
Yeah. I'm real stoked.
Yeah.
I'm real stoked. I actually turned down a job recently, and I was just like, you know what? I always seem to jump on a job and I go live. And I was like, my life is so good right now. And my girlfriend bought me these tickets for my birthday. And I was like, you know what? I'm just not going to work. You know, obviously I'm doing this, and this is something I'm kind of doing this as a passion and trying to, you know, get some things going. But, you know, I've turned down a job because I was like, you know what? I'm going to do this Format Fest.
Yeah.
I'm going to go and probably
be able to ride your e-bike out there.
Oh yeah. I'm going to
Got the path outlined. They got bike valet. I mean, that's so awesome.
Oh, really? They're going to have a bike? They're going to figure the bike thing?
You'll just go. Yep. They've already got it marked out. If you go on there, I think it's on the website where they have the how to ride your bike out to it. They have bike valet there.
Oh, bike valet.
Yeah.
I had already thought about, like, you know, even though I promise you,
I'm not speaking, but that's what it said. So I can't guarantee that yeah, I know they
well,
will.
Either if there's bike valet, either which way,
it'll happen.
But I got to tell you, people have been making fun of me because, just recently I went to the Walmart over here, the downtown Bentonville Walmart, and I did a Instagram story and I left my computer bag in the front of my, in the basket of my e-bike. And I just was like, I'm not even worried. It's going to be here when I get back. Yeah. It was like, what are you doing? And I was like, dude, I'm just telling you, I just like to test the water. So I go, because I just don't believe it's going to get stolen. I just don't
even have a bike lock on my bike.
Yeah, I know. It's like, I just think it's so funny. It's so funny. I've never been in a town where you truly believe that, like, you can keep, you know, sorry, all the criminals. I hope I didn't like bring you here. We'll cut this out.
Tulsa is a great place to go for all the criminals.
Tulsa is really, there's really expensive stuff there.
It's beautiful because people and like it, you know, it permeates everything. People watch out for everything.
Yeah, they really do.
I was sitting on a bike rack the other day and I was having a beer with a friend and somebody backed up and backed into a bike rack in the bike and like five guys from the parking lot swarmed and stopped the car before they could leave to make sure that they gave their insurance and their name to the person's bike they hit. These just random strangers, but they saw it happen.
They were like,
they stopped them. Yeah, they got in front of the car and were like,
no. We do the right thing here.
Yeah, it was really, we were laughing as we were sitting there like, only in Bentonville.
Yeah, only in Bentonville. I'm telling you, man. Well, I'm not going to keep you. I know you got a lot of good things going on, man. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you.
It's been a good time. Well, that's our show. If you didn't get a chance to watch the episode, check it out on YouTube and Spotify. You can also listen to The Good Time Show on Apple Podcasts or any other platform. We are always trying to grow our Planet Good Times community, so subscribe and follow us at Good Times Us on almost all social media platforms. This episode was presented and recorded live at Blake Street House Sound Lounge in Bentonville, Arkansas, a social club where people from all walks of life come together just to be themselves and make the community a better place. Till next time, good times, everybody.